Sorry about that. I don't want to have to redo this. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church Revival, Fall Revival. Today's sermonette text is taken from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In this particular verse tells me that God's word is truth. It will come to fruition. Our Lord God and Savior is patient, more than we'll ever be. And our God made a way of salvation with the blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary. That's how much our God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In the scripture text in 2 Peter 3:9, all should come to repentance. We all make choices in this life, and there's consequences for your choices. The choice of rejecting Jesus Christ has eternal consequences. We're to repent of sin, and we're to follow Jesus Christ and not the world. If you reject him, you will suffer wrath, eternal torment. The Bible is clear on heaven and hell. Do not let yourself be deceived. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. God's word is sure. And as a Christian, we take his word by faith. When we read his holy Bible, we take it by faith. I was on vacation, and we're going to a jeweler to find a ring guard, and we're following Google, and it's telling us to take a right in 500 feet, and all it is woods. We would end up going into the woods, so Google's not always right, but our Bible is sure. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And we're talking about Abraham, when God promised him a seed, and he believed. And we can ask this, is there anything too hard for the Lord to do in your life? We have to wanna above all else, please him and glorify him and reject the world. People at your workplace are gonna shun you. They're gonna mock you. Pay no mind. This was told to us. You will be hated for my name. We know the truth, and the truth has set us free if we're believers. This comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Thus God determined to show more abundantly to its heir of promise the immutable of his counsel, confirming it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who has fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. We have eternal hope. As Christian blood-bought believers, we know where our home is. God is our refuge, he's our hope, he's our strength, he's our salvation, and this all comes by and through Jesus Christ alone. Nothing comes from us. He doesn't need us. This is God's divine delays. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until it comes till the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the earth in latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. We're supposed to be patient people as Christians. We're supposed to just trust that God's in control. He knows what he's doing. He's proverbially, he's the guy driving the bus, and we're supposed to be sitting in the passenger seat just going for the ride, doing his bidding and his will. And the Lord's day is at hand. It is coming. He said it. We believe it. We're to watch and be ready. And this is the question that we have to ask ourselves. What will he find you doing? What will he find you doing? This comes from Romans chapter 2. I think Steve went in my office. Romans chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those who practice such things, and do the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? For you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearing, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. We're to turn from sin. Sin should repulse us. It should be repugnant. Turn to Jesus, and it will turn your life around. We can all take a look at the guy and the gal in the mirror and who we were. Amazing grace. I listened to that first thing this morning. The wretched sinner that I was, that I am, and he is continuously cleansing me. And this is frightening. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. A lot of people do not believe that there's going to be a judgment, but he said it. I believe it. It's in the Bible, and we'll read some scriptures to back that up. For the grace of God has brought salvation, has appeared to all men. This is a salvation. And it comes in three different ways in his creation. And this is all found in Romans. His creation, in his word, and in the consciousness, in your conscience, you know right from wrong, God, the devil. There's going to be no excuse. You will be without excuse. And if you try to sneak into heaven and say, I've done this, I've done that, he's going to say, no, sir, no, ma'am. You have to believe upon Jesus Christ and him alone. That will get you into heaven. This is the promise to the penitent sinner. And this comes from the gospel. Luke chapter 15, verse 7. And this is the parable of the lost sheep. And I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repented than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And we can take a look again at ourselves. We were lost and we were found. We were blind, now we see. And we can examine our own lives unto what we're doing as a repentant Christian. Are we walking worthy as a repentant Christian? Do we, like Rick, have one foot in the world and one in God's world? Because you can't have it both. God wants us all. And we will have purpose and meaning in our lives as a Christian. And Joshua puts it this way in Joshua 24:15, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in those lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you can serve the Lord, you are doing good. We are chosen. We are royal priesthood. We are his mouthpiece. We are to go and make disciples. In order to do that, we have to be grounded as Christians. Life's purpose is first and foremost to glorify God on who and what we are. We're to grow in our faith daily. It's not being stagnant. It's not moving backwards. It's moving forwards to be more Christ-like. We're to know His Word, to study His Word, so when somebody says something that's not right, we can know the truth from error. And we're to share the hope that's in us, that's in Jesus Christ. This is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make in your life. And this comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Whether you believe or you reject him, you will have made a decision and a choice. And one day the reaper will come and you will sow what you reap. And this is the parable of the wheat and the tares. And this is the fate of the wicked. This comes from Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 30. Let both grow together until a harvest. And that time the harvest will say to the reaper, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them. My friends, that is hell. That is hell. But gather the wheat into my barn. And that is heaven. Eternal fire does not sound good. Burning with unquenchable fire does not sound good. But you reject Jesus Christ. That is your fate. That is your fate. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And this comes by and through Jesus Christ. That's how we get to be heirs of Abraham. He believed in faith, and nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And this is really important for a Christian. This comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God has come upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. We're to know the truth. We're to know when somebody's speaking false doctrine. There's a lot of it out there, and it's been said, we will know them by their fruits. And if we know the truth, then we can try to correct them. And we're to speak the Bible truth. What does the Bible say? Not what we think or what we feel, or what my mother thinks or feels or says. What does the Bible, what does God's Holy Bible say? And we're going to end with this. This comes from Jesus. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. So that would qualify all of us because we haven't physically seen Jesus. But hopefully you believe upon him. And we did it by faith and belief upon him. I don't know how it happened, when it happened, but I was in a low point in my life, and I was seeking and searching, and Gerard invited me to church, and it changed my whole life. And now I believe in faith upon Jesus Christ as my Lord, God, and Savior. It's not magic. It's belief upon Jesus Christ. We're going to say a closing prayer, and then we're going to say a quick prayer over the meal, and then we're going to go from there. Holy Heavenly Father, we just thank you for letting your words go out with power and might. May everybody heed these words and grow in the grace of knowledge of your truth, Lord. We just thank you for this day. May it be profitable for everybody here. And when it goes over the airwaves, may people just hear it also and say, yes, I need you, Lord. I don't want to be that wretched sinner anymore, but I want to be a child of the Most High God. We just praise you. We give you all the glory for letting you do your work through us. And all this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.